Good morning. We're holding Erevin Daf Mem Dalan on the base right at the bottom, towards the bottom. And just to get our bearings again, we had just learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah said a couple of dinams. We should go over the Mishnah and then first come outside, and then we'll pick it up from the bottom where we left off. The Mishnah had said, one who left his Rishus, his Tchum on Shabbos, with Rishus, with permission, which we explained that can mean he's going to, let's say he testified by Eidus for Kiddush HaChodesh, so he's allowed to go up to Beis Din, a gadol in Shlayim, or he, let's say he's going to help someone give birth. He's leaving for permissible purposes, and then whether he completes his mission says, or even if he didn't, he wasn't needed. His services were no longer needed. Still, the halacha is he's not restricted. Now they have his tchum. You don't say, oh, he's restricted to amos. He gets a new 2,000 amos at his new location. Okay, then the Mishnah says that if he's still within his tchum, then it's if he never left, which the Mara asked, by the way, that's obvious. If he's still within his chum, then of course, if he never left his chum, why would you think his chum changes? That's going to be the Mara's discussion. And then the Mishnah says, whoever goes out lahatzil, whoever goes out to rescue people, are allowed to go back to their place. Sounds like allowed to go back to the original place, no matter how far away they are. They don't just have 2,000 amas. They can go back to their original place all the way back. So a little bit different than we said in the ratio. When you go to rescue someone, you can go all the way back to the original place. And the Elam was actually asking me after the Shir, Liza and others were bothered, what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa? Why in the Reisha we're restricting 2,000 Amos, whereas in the Seifa you're allowed to go back to your place? The Gemara will actually ask that question coming up shortly on Mem Heyam and Aleph. So the Gemara just asks right away, the Gemara we left off the SDS, what does it mean in the middle case of the Mishnah, that if he's still within his Tchum, then he retains the same Tchum? Of course, why would you think not? So the Gemara gave two explanations. Rabbi says, the Chiddush of Mishnah is, that don't say, it means literally, he's still within his Tchum. But the chiddush is that you would have thought that since when a person leaves on such a mission, he gets a new tchum. That's the standard. When he leaves the tchum and he goes further away, he gets new 2,000 amos. So maybe once he was leaving to go on this mission, even though he stayed within his tchum, maybe the boundaries of the tchum recalibrate, and he now has 2,000 amos from whenever he found out he's no longer needed from that spot. Maybe he doesn't retain the original same 2,000 amos. Maybe he gets recalibrated to his new spot where he is when he completes his mission, or he completes his need for his mission. Kamash Blano, nothing changes about his original tchum. And again, a little bit of a, not such a major chiddush, but there was at least a havamina, it would have changed. Kamash Blano doesn't. That is Rabbah's answer. However, Rav Shimon Bar Chiya answered, he said, no, the case is, the middle case of the mission talking about, where he left his tchum. He left his tchum and he got a new 2,000 amma a boundary. He got a new 2,000 amma, a new tchum. Like we said in the Mishnah, he gets a new tchum. And the case is where the new tchum happens to overlap in one spot, or overlap, it reaches the old tchum. The tchumim overlap a bit. And the chiddush of the middle case of the Mishnah is when the tchum overlap, he now has license to go back to his first tchum, because since it overlaps, he can go to that spot where it overlaps. And once he's in the spot where it overlaps, he can go back to his original tchum, and now have his regular shvi'is like he had when the Shabbos started. So unlike in the first case of the Mishnah where he's restricted to his new 2,000 amos, in the middle case, since there's a little overlap, he can actually go back to his original tchum. So that's what we left off yesterday. So there's a discussion, actually. Let's be the more inside. Micah Milfi goes to Machlekes. Mar Savar Havlas Tchumim Milsi. The Machlekes is whether Havlas Tchumim has a status. We're in the second wide line. Mar Savar Havlas Tchumim Milsi. Rav Shimi holds that Tchumim the overlap as considered status, it's a recognized concept that there's status to his, and he gets back, he regains his original status of tchum to go back to his first place. Umar Savar, Lav Milsi, whereas Rabbi says, no, the tchum overlapping doesn't have status. He's still, once he got new tchum, he's restricted to the new tchum. Just because there's some overlap, he can't now go and reawaken his original tchum by the overlap. So there's actually a discussion in the Achrayim. What does that mean when there's overlap? If you hold that the tchum is the tchum being mivla, I've lost tchumim, is milsi. What does that mean? Does that mean I have to go back to my first tchum, or I'm just able to go back to first tchum? Interesting machlokes, the Eli Rabba versus the Gaon Yaakov. The Eli Rabba says he's obligated. When my new tchum overlaps my old tchum, I'd be obligated to go to that spot where it overlaps and then return to my original tchum. That is the Shitas Eli Rabba. However, the Shitas Gaon Yaakov is no, it's optional to return. He doesn't have to go back to his first tchum. He has the option to go back to his first tchum. Mishurur brings both days. He's Naita Lahakil, like the Gaon Yaakov, to say that is optional to go back, not obligatory. However, very key point. All agree, Gaon Yaakov agrees to Eli Rabba. If the fellow did go back to the spot where it's Mubla, so he is now in his original Tchum as well, now he gets restricted back to his original Tchum. Once he leaves the new Tchum, so to speak, even though he's still within the new Tchum, but once he goes back to the spot which is also the original Tchum, he now loses the new Tchum, and he goes back, and now he's restricted to his original Tchum. So even though it's Machlekes Achronim, where he has to go back, Goyen Yaakov does not have to go back. Even Goyen Yaakov, his mask with the Meli Rabba, once he did go to that spot where it overlaps, he would be restricted to the old Tchum. But again, this all is going according to the opinion that when you have Tchumim overlapping, it has status. It's considered Milsa as status, and therefore he reawakens his old Tchum and he goes back there. Okay. Says the Gemara, So Abaye asked Rabba. Rabba says that Tchumim, even when it overlaps, is Lav Milsa. So actually, the Rashi already asked the Kasha, Tais addressed it as well, that why is this different? Rabba is saying that even when it overlaps, the reason why Rabba didn't want to say this answer like Kavshimi is because even when it overlaps, has no status. He has new Tchum now. Just because it overlaps in one spot doesn't have any status. Asks Rashi and Taisus on Rabba, we just had a Gemara in Daf Mem Alpha Meis that we discussed the person who's out of his Tchum. He left his Tchum. We said he's stuck to four Amos. But what if he used to use the facilities? He used to use the washroom. Als Kavod Arbrius, is there a heter to walk out of the Amos? And we said yes. We said yes, that it's Deich Leis Shabbatera, specifically Leis Sev Leis Asser, it's Deich Leis Abundance. He's allowed to be able to Abundance. Als Kavod Arbrius, he's allowed to go back and find a washroom. He's allowed to go find the washroom. So the Gemara said, I forgot from who, if he's a Pikeach, he would go back towards the original Tchum. Go back towards the original Tchum, and once he gets back into the original Tchum, since he's going back Beheter, only if he goes back Beheter, if he goes back Beheter, he still don't get regain your Tchum, but since he's going back Beheter, he would regain his Tchum. Wouldn't that be a simply clear Raya, that when you have two Tchumim that are overlapping, because that's what's happening, he's looking for a place to relieve himself, and it's over. That's giving him a new Heter for a new Tchum, and it overlaps his old Tchum, and then he regains his old Tchum. That seems to be a clear memory earlier in Dafim Alpha Meis. How is that different than our case where Rabbi is saying over here that even when it overlaps, he cannot regain his original Tchum? That is a kasha that Rishonim ask on Rabbi Chayishtaka Kasha. So Rashi is in the Chami. Rashi's Rabbi argues on that Gemara. Dafim Alpha Meis. Rabbi argues. That's clear. Rabbi doesn't feel that Gemara. Tosfos wants to make a distinction. Tosfos wants to say that in the other cases, when he leaves his new Tchumim, he's forfeiting these Tchumim. So, for example, let's look at the case of Memalfa Meis. He left his original Tchum. He's restricting that to four Amos. Four Amos is now his new Tchum. When he's leaving that Tchum, Al Tzkavad Arbiyas, he's really, it's not Peshad, he's extending that Tchum that he's going wherever he needs, wherever he's going to the washroom, that's part of his new Tchum. No, no, no. He's leaving that Tchum of four Amos with a Heter because he is Al Tzkavad Arbiyas, but he's leaving that Tchum. He's forfeiting that Tchum, and therefore when he comes back and he reaches his original Tchum, he's able to reawaken and use that Tchum because he's abandoned the old Tchum. There's no competing force here. He has no other Tchum that's competing with the original Tchum. When he's in the new Tchum area, he's able to reawaken it and use it. Over here, he has a new Tchum that's working. He's not, there's even when he's in the spot that overlaps, the new Tchum with the old Tchum, the new Tchum that he gained when he went out to do this mitzvah and he got a new Tchum, that new Tchum is still fully in effect. So if you have a new Tchum that's fully in effect, that's a competing force. Rabbi says when you have competing force, it's very nice to have overlapping Tchumim, but they're also competing. So when you have overlapping Tchumim and they're competing, you stay in the most recent Tchum, you don't have a right to go back to the old Tchum to reawaken the old one. That's Rabbi Shita. But when there is no Tchum competing, like by the case of Kavod Arbiyas, Rabbi would agree. Interesting lumnus, Taisa says, interesting chilik, I should say, Taisa making between the two cases. Okay, so that's I'm going to buy the Rabbi. So we're going to have a few questions that Abai is going to ask against Rabba. Rabba is not agreeing to this concept of overlapping Tchum. Abai is going to ask a few questions. Question number one. Amei Abai the Rabba, Ba'adle Tizber, do you not agree that Avlam Tchum Milsi? Do you not agree that Avlam Tchum overlapping is considered something, has a status? Uma'ilu B'Shabbos Shabbos Mara. If a person began Shabbos in a cave, now just to get we need a quick description of the cave in order to appreciate the case. The cave over here is, it's a cave, it's almost like more like a ditch almost. There's a ditch. There's a two openings to the cave, we're called on ground level. And then it goes like kind of underground. The cave goes underground on the two openings. We call it an opening to the east, opening to the west. Now the ground on top of the cave, so in between the two openings, east and west, the ground on top is a little less than 4,000 amas. But the cave itself is actually wider. For that amas, basically the walls go a little bit on an angle outwards. And Rashi, if you look at the Rashi, there's a little drawing of Rashi. It's pretty clear. Rashi, only has one drawing towards the bottom element, is a pretty clear picture of what's going on. So the shaila is like this. How far could he travel when he leaves? Let's say he was Shabbos in this cave. He was Shabbos, started Shabbos in this cave. So the halacha is a person when he has a shvisa, he's allowed to go out from the exit of that makam, and he's allowed to go 2,000 amas in any direction. Now, in the cave itself, even though it's 4,000 amas, he's allowed to walk around because it's an enclosed area. In the cave itself, there's no problem to walk around the whole area. That's not a shayla. The shayla is outside the cave. How far could he go? So if he goes out of the Pesach on the east, he can go to the east to 2,000 amas. He goes to the Pesach to the west, he can go to the west 2,000 amas. But what about going inside? But let's say he goes out of the Pesach of the east. What about instead of walking further east, he walks towards the west, towards the other Pesach? He leaves the Pesach east and walks towards the west, or vice versa. Leaves the Pesach west and wants to walk towards the east. Basically, he's walking on the top of the makam, on top of the cave. Is he restricted to just 2,000 amas there as well? Or do we say no, that as long as, since in this case, the case where we described it, the area on top of this cave is a little less than 4,000 amas, so 2,000 amas from the eastern exit towards the middle will take him over, it'll overlap with the 2,000 amas from the western exit towards the middle, the 2,000 amas that he has from east and west of the openings, they overlap with each other when he's walking on top of the cave. Since they overlap, he gets the whole area, and that's Takalacha. Says Abaye Tarabi, we see over there, no one's going to disagree, even you're not going to disagree, that he can walk over that entire area on top of the cave because the Tchumim seemingly overlap, and therefore he can go out to the west, the exit or the entrance on the west, walk towards the entrance on the east, 3,950 amas, and he's fine, and it's okay. Ay lechayra, it's more than 2,000 amas. Answer is overlapping mechitzas work. That's the Gemara's question. That's the Bais question. Rabbi, let's see it inside. Says the Gemara, my Shabbos Gemara, like I was spending Shabbos in a cave. He started Shabbos in a cave. Shabbos Zaycha, Arba, I love him. Inside the cave is 4,000 amas long. Valgaga on top of the cave, the roof, Pachas Marba, Alf Amas. It was less than 4,000 amas, but a lot more than 2,000 amas. Let Nimsa Mahalachas Kula Bechutzla Pai Mama. Isn't it clear they can walk throughout the whole entire, the ground, above the grave, even though it's much more than 2,000 amas, because the Chorits, you have overlapping 2,000 amas from the eastern exit and the western exit. They overlap, and you go towards the middle, they overlap over each other, and that's the Chorit, the reason why you let it go through the whole thing. When a person has overlapping Erevs, it gives him the Maila of the two different Erevs. Says the Gemara, Rabbi answers, what are you talking about? Amalei, Le Shanalach Ben Hechad Shavas Ba'avir, Mechitzas Ma'idayim. Rav says, actually compare. Over there, he rested in the cave. When he rests in the cave, he gets 2,000 amas from every direction, from every opening in the cave. Right? If a person is resting in a house, and the house is opening on different various sides, he gets 2,000 amas from every opening. And over here, 2,000 amas from the east opening and the west opening happen to overlap with each other. It's not a vertical, but it's because they overlap. He has 2,000 amas from the east opening. He has 2,000 amas from the west opening. And once they encompasses, once it's less than 4,000 amas on top, so each opening encompasses, the combination of two openings encompasses the whole area, and therefore it's okay. How could you compare that to a case where you're creating a new Erev on Shabbos, and that new Erev on Shabbos is overlapping? That's not comparable to this case where he has two proper 2,000 amas limits that were created from his Shvisa before Shabbos. So of course over there it works. It's not a Raya. Okay. Says the Gemara of Heichel. So Abaye says further, Heichel Shabbos Lai, in a case where, when Shabbos began, he wasn't yet Shabbos, which is more like our case, in our Mishnah, he's still telling me over there that when the Tchum overlap, there's no Maila. Aye, effect Gemara, top of Memhev and Alf. Vatran, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Shtayim Mekadosh. Rabbi Elazar says, we quoted this the other day, Rabbi Elazar says, when a person left his Chum, and he's within two amas of the original tchum, he's allowed to go back into the tchum. That's Rabbi Elazar Shita. To Rabban argue, once he had a tchum, he's stuck. Rabbi Elazar says, if he's, as long as he's within two amas, we just had that yesterday when we were discussing that making the human wall, and the Mara discussed, what was Rav Chizda's Shaila, whether human wall works? What do you have to ask Rav Nachman? Chayetz Pasha, human wall should work, even though the Mara itself then has a discussion about it. But the Mara wanted to know if the Shaila was, does he hold like Rav Gamliel, that enclosures don't work, or do work, sorry, Was the shaila whether we hold the Gran Gamliel that enclosures work outside of the Tchum, or is the shaila whether it holds like this Rabbi Eliezer, who says, and again, it's going to be Rabbi Eliezer is coming up in the Mishnah, who says that when you're outside of your Tchum, if there's only a two amah gap or less, then you're able to go back into your original Tchum. Okay, so says Rabbi Eliezer, Mishnah Mikadosh, Shalosh Leikadosh. If it's two amahs, then he can go back to the original Tchum. If it's more than two amah space, then he's away, then he can't go back to the original Tchum. Now let's think. What's the standing of Elazar? My love, Elazar let Tamer. Elazar according to reasoning to Amar Huvem Tzon. Elazar according to reasoning where he says that when you have a person when a person has four amas when he's out of the Tchum, he's considered in the center of the four amas, so he has two amas to every direction, and therefore the arba amas of Leirbanan. So now the four amas Leirbanan gave him, which is two amas each direction, are kemad the mavundami. They're like overlapped with this tchum. His new tchum of two amas each direction, of four total amas, overlaps with the original tchum. Rashi explains actually it's not really overlapping the way we're describing it. The way the Mara describes it, he's two amas away, so it doesn't really overlap. It just abuts it. But for our purposes, Rashi says since it converges the two amas distance together with his original tchum, mamish abut each other right next to each other. That would be the same as overlapping. It's the same idea as overlapping. It's Rashi learns because otherwise, really, there's a question here. In the case we're talking about till now, is mamish overlapping? Here, it's not overlapping; it's just one right next to the other. So Rashi is saying that nechami, but for these purposes, since it connects to each other, that should be sufficient. Since his new tchum connects his old tchum, that should be sufficient. Taitz Rabbeinu Peretz actually says it differently. He says no, the Gemara was not being medactic in his lashon, but it's talking about where he wasn't mamish two full amas away; he was 1.9 amas away. So there's a little bit of overlap, which would fit perfectly with the Gemara's discussion of overlapping tchums. Either way, says the Gemara. So aren't we talking about a case army go, Israel Blood's going according to his reasoning, that he has two Amas, which allows him to overlap with the original Tchum, command of Amdami, the Kamei Kanes, and he says, you let it go in. Alma, have lost Chum and Milsi. So we see have lost Chum something. We see Reb Lezer, the reason why he's allowing him to go back when he's within two Amas is because two Amas is the direction he gets, is the amount of space he gets in every direction once he's out of the Tchum. According to Reb Lezer, he gets two Amas every direction. That two Amas happens to abut or overlap, but it's close enough with his original Tchum, where he now is able to reawaken. We reconnect his original Tchum, and we see that Avlos Tchum is something. It's a Raya, a raya, not like Rabbah, because it's a Raya that this works even where he wasn't Shavas, meaning the Shabbos. This is a new Tchum that he created by leaving his Tchum, his original Tchum, on Shabbos. He created this new four Amah Tchum, but as long as it overlaps with the first Tchum, he's allowed to go back to it. It's a Kasha on Rabbah. Now we see overlapping works even on a new Tchum of Shabbos. Amalei Rabbah Chana Labaye, so Rabbah Chana says Labaye on behalf of Rabbah. When Reb Lezer comes basically in the Mar, he asks a kasha on Rabba from Reb Lezer. We don't pass like Reb Lezer. We pass like the Rabbanan that you need, that doesn't work. We don't say there's a mile to overlap over there, and he can't go back to the original Tchum. So why would you ask kasha from Reb Lezer, who we don't pass like? So Abai deflects and says, no. I am asking a question from Reb Lezer, because Rabbanan don't argue with Reb Lezer on this prat. Amalei in, says Abai to Rabba Chana, I am asking a kasha from Reb Lezer. The Shemile Minei Demar, because I heard from Rab himself. I heard from Rab himself. This they're about to argue with his logic of Blazer, allowing him to re-enter his original Tchum as long as he's within two Amas and reawaken the original Tchum is only when it was Dvar Rishus. Rabbi says yes, even for Dvar Rishus is Mutter. I'm going to say no, not for Dvar Rishus, because they don't hold to the whole idea of having a Tchum of leaving one's Erev or making a Reuven for leaving one's Tchum. For Dvar Rishus, only by Dvar Mitzvah would they make it. But you see clearly that is just a machlokes way you apply it. But in the case of Dvar Mitzvah, even the Rabbanon would agree that it's permissible that he could re-enter his original Rishus. So we see that the Rabbanon also argue, the Mar leaves us a question, Abayas leaves the question against Rabbah. Rabbah is saying they don't say Avlaz Tchum. Here we seem to have a Raya that Rabbi Lazar, and was saying even the Rabbanon, Rabbah himself saying even the Rabbanon would agree to Rabbi Lazar. In the case of Mitzvah, one would be able to reawaken his original Tchum. So Abayas has a Kasha Rabbah, which the Mar leaves unresolved. Okay, and here's the question that Liza, you asked after the Shias today. I think, and some others, I think, may mention it. We said, in the end of the Mishnah, those who leave their place, they are able to go back to the place. Whoever leaves the place for lahatzel, for saving, is able to go back to the place. Remember, we spoke yesterday, just quickly, Chazorver, we spoke yesterday, just basic machlekes, Rabbi Shem, Shem Zalman, this is very relevant to lahatzel. The Hatzalah, idea of Hatzalah, is Hatzalah, a person who's going to Hatzalah, is he able to go back to his place on Shabbos? So we spoke out again, 2 points. Point number one is, if there's a tzad that he's going to be needed again, let's say there's one Hatzalah member, or there's more than one, but there's a tzad that he'll be needed again for a Hatzalah call on Shabbos, that itself is already a kula, that he's allowed to go back, because that itself is considered pikuch nefesh, for him not to be there. That's number one. But even in a case where we know that Baruch Hashem is more than enough ample volunteers, Hatzalah volunteers, even if one person or two people already are out of the Tchum, they went to the hospital, they're out of the Tchum, and they left, or again, it's relevant to other shows as well, but it's too far to walk back, so they want to take a car. Even if the person is far away, there's other people to attend to potential future needs, even then there's discussion, is let it go back, because part of the reason let it go back, we spoke of Taisus, top Taisus on Abdallah Vez, is because they are Matir Tchilasan Mishim Seifan. It's a Taisus, by the way, this isn't on the list, but without getting into the Taisus Kash over there, the concept is that if you don't let them come back, they may not go in the first place. So Lechaira, would that apply to the Hatzalah members as well? Seemingly it would, and the question is to what extent? So the Achreinim, Paskin, the Gedela Paiskim, Ramesha, Rashab Zaman, they say Hatzalah member could go back, but the question is, which Isurim could it be over? Ramesha seems to be Makel to allow even being over Isur Daraisa, whereas Rashab Zaman was Matar, only to be over Isur Rabbanan. If it entails being over Isur Daraisa, one would not be able to come back to be with this logic that we wanted to make sure he goes in the first place, to be over Isur Daraisa, only Isur Rabbanan, and the Chara, the different Hanagas of different Hatzalahs in different places across the world, is actually totally in this Machlaikas, some Paskin Ramesha, and some Paskin Rashab Zaman. It depends on which Hatzalah and which location. It really depends on who the Rav, the leading Rav Pesach in that area, is Paschas like. Okay, says the Gemara, Afilu Tuva. The Gemara now is bothered by the question that we said in the end of the Mishnah, a person who left for Hatzalah purposes, he's allowed to go back, sounds like. There's no limit. He's allowed to go back even more than 2,000 Amas. But in the Reish we said he's only allowed to go back 2,000 Amas and not more. So why in the Reish do we say, in the Reish we said he gets a new Tchum of 2,000 Amas? We didn't say he can go back when he left for this Bar Mitzvah. He didn't say he can go back. We said he gets new, if he's out of his Tchum, he gets a new Tchum. He's not restricted to his place. He gets a new Tchum of 2,000 Amas. Safer saying he can go back to his original place. The Safer means something else. The Safer doesn't refer to going back to the distance, his original place. That's what it means. It means he's allowed to take back with him his weapons. Even though he's camera, we're talking about people that went out, let's say, for war to defend against an enemy. They're allowed to take chayetz and the hatzel chayzul the mekayim. It doesn't mean they go back to the original place. We're actually going to touch the mission now. They still restricted 2,000 amas. Kamas. It means they can carry with them Lumkaiman, their Klei Zayin, their weaponry, even though it's carrying, it's Isteraisa, since they need it, they'll let it carry with them. When my Kush says Gemara, the Gemara is bothered. What was the Kash in the first place? Dum lahatzel shayni. If the safest story in my case were they're coming to fight a war, so there's a concern that the enemies can still come back after them if they leave their Klei Zayin, the enemies come back after them. They need to keep the weapons with them. Aspuch nefesh. What was the question in the first place? Meaning, let's say it means going back all the way to the house. Not just 2,000 Amos. Maybe there's a concern. Forget about carrying the weapons. Let's leave it out for a second. Forget about carrying the weapons. Maybe there's a concern. They fought the enemy. They don't want to be so close to the enemy when they're finished. They're restricted to 2,000 Amos. They don't want to be restricted to 2,000 Amos. Not just they don't want to. It's not safe. They want to get back, create as much distance as possible, and that's why they go back to their original location. If once we're talking about a battle, why do we have to come up with an answer that doesn't mean going back to the original place? It means carry their weapons with them. We're talking about battle. Say they're allowed to go back and leave because they don't want to be in close proximity to the enemy that they just waged war with. So the more you're right, that's a fairly obvious chiluk. Meaning the chiluk could just be one's war and one's some other atzala. Says the Gemara, you're right. Elikashi akashli. This answer was said, and because for a different question. This answer about carrying the weaponry was said for a different question. Says the Gemara at the time because we went to the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah Mishnah called Yom Kula. They show about the people that went to go testify about the new moon. So when they left their trum, and originally once they got the Bez Nagel that testified, they no longer were able to leave there. They stay in the courtyard the rest of the day because they're out of the trum. Hiskun Gamil Azak Nishesh Lam Bafai Mamal Charuach. Gamil made it to Kana. They have 2,000 Amos in every direction. They have 2,000 Amos in every direction. In order to encourage more people to come and not feel restricted once they come. So El Bavad, we spoke yesterday also, they used to make these big sudas for them. So El Bavad, Amru, and they didn't say just this kula, Legabi the Edim of Kish Chodesh Elafilu, Chachama Balilad. Chacham is a midwife who comes to help a woman in delivery. Vabal Hatzman, a guy, some an arm and a pilos, where someone who's coming to help from an enemy, like troops, or from a river that's overflowing, or a pilos, or something that's collapsed. So people coming to save, or from a lake, or from a fire, someone comes up and saves people from a fire. All these people are coming to Atzala, Harein Ka'ansha'ir, they get treated like the people of the city, Vishnu Lampai, Mamachalam Ruach. And they have 2,000 Amas in every Ruach, meaning they left their original tchum to get into the city to help these people. They get like the new tchum from the new city. In all these cases, we get the new tchum of the new city. That is the member of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. So here's the question. Sulai, I tell me you restricted only 2,000 Amas. We said in our Mishnah, whoever goes out to the Hatzel can go back to their place. A few tuvah sounds like even more 2,000 Amas. So we're not going to ask a question anymore from our Mishnah, the Reish of the Sefer, because that we said, you have the answer we just quoted a moment ago, which is, nothing. We won't even need the answer of weaponry yet. We have the answer of lahatza. When you're fighting an enemy, it's different. Lahatza, when you're fighting an enemy, is different because you want to get as far away from the enemy as possible. But here we have a steer, and the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah seems to include the case of Gaius, of fighting with an enemy, and still we're restricting him to the new tchum of 2,000 Amos. He can't go back to his original place. So on that steer between the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah and our Mishnah over here, Amar Vidamar Amarav Shechayz Beklizayim Lukayman. What the Mishnah meant by us that you're able to be chayzer, it didn't just mean you're able to be chayzer. It didn't mean you're able to chayzer more to the Amos. It meant you're able to take back the weapons with you. Kitatanya, like you learned in a Braisa, initially, when they returned from this, whatever this war was, they would leave their weapons at the first house inside the wall because there's no need to carry it further. They're no longer fighting the war. However, one time the enemy realized, the enemies found them and ran after them. And they went into this house to get their weapons because they quickly had to cop their weapons because the enemy was coming back. And the enemy was chasing after them. And they were in such a rush, such a bahala to go get back their weapons. What happened? They trampled each other. They trampled each other and they killed from each other. They killed those. There was unfortunately wounded, self-inflicted wounds. It wasn't like friendly fire, but friendly trampling amongst their own soldiers more than what the enemies would have killed in the first place. By Sashaskinu, that's their masakin. They can go back to the place Klezainen. So now we're teaching. Here's what we teach the Mishnah to mean that they're allowed to carry the Klezainen, not because of the steer in Amish alone, because the steer for the other case of Rashana, the Mishnah of Rashana, which says that by an army you still have restricted to the 2,000 Amos. So over there we're saying that. Over the when our Mishnah says you gotta go back to your place, our Mishnah was elaborating on the fact that you gotta carry your kalim back to your place, that I carry your weapons back to your place. That's what our Mishnah is saying, not to be a conflict with the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Leikashi says a different answer. Kan shenitzchu Yisrael su masaylam, kan shleinitzchu, kan shenitzchu umasaylam as atzman. It depends on the case. In the case of Rosh Hashanah, the Mishnah is talking about where Klai Yisrael is matzliach. When they're matzliach, they beat the enemy. There's no concern to have to walk back, go back to the original place, number one, or even carry their weaponry, number two, because they've defeated the enemy. And therefore they're less worried about any pushback from the enemy. Whereas the Lashon Gemara is where the enemy defeated themselves, the Gemara doesn't even want to say the words, the enemy defeated Klal Yisrael. So it speaks Lashon Saginar. When the enemy defeated themselves, but it means Chalila defeated Klal Yisrael, then the Yidden are not restricted to 2,000 Amos. They're able to go back to the original place. They're able to flee as far as possible. Because over there, of course, you have danger. And over there, you're able to go back actually to your place. So he's saying a new answer. What he's saying is nothing to do with actually carrying weapons even. You're able to go back further than 2,000 Amos in a case where the enemy may still be able to, the enemy won and still has power over the Yidden. Then the Yidden allowed to go back more than 2,000 Amos to protect themselves from further damage from the enemy. Amar Vidim Rav. So essentially we have two answers to the Stira between Rosh Hashanah and our Mishnah. One answer is that we're talking about taking Klei Zion back and let it take Klei Zion because of Amais Hashaya, because it led to damage. The other answer is that when Klei Yisrael wins the battle, the attack restricted 2,000 Amos, and our Mishnah means they have more to them than 2,000 Amos. Soldiers are able to go back to the original place, but it's only a place where they were never defeated, where they did not defeat the enemy. They did not defeat the enemy. Doesn't mean that the enemy defeated them necessarily, but they didn't defeat the enemy. The enemy is still viable, and therefore they're able to flee more than 2,000 Amos. They're able to go back to at least to the original place, wherever they feel more comfortable. Amar Rav Demarav. Nachum Tzor Aris Yisrael. Once we're on the topic of battle on Shabbos, so we say some other dinim. Nachrim, Rabbi Yudas, the name of Rav, Nachrim that are besieging a city of Klal Yisrael, of Yidden, on Shabbos. So it depends, why are they besieging it? Are they besieging because they want to, Chalila, harm Klal Yisrael physically and kill the Yidden? Or are they besieging because they want a strong arm and take some money, take some property? So it's a big difference. You can't go out to fight them with weapons on Shabbos. You can't be Shabbos. When the Nachrim besieging the city, You can't go back. Can't go out and fight the goyim with weapons. But medrav amurim kishbal eskemamen. That's tough when the goyim came for money. You now mechal Shabbos to save money. When especially when it's a threat over property. You can't go fight them back on Shabbos. You have to wait till Shabbos when it's a threat of money. Avobal eskenefashes. But if the nachem are coming for matters of life and death, they want to physically harm Klal Yisrael. Chalila yaitzim aleim b'kezayin mechalam Shabbos. Then you can go out with enemies and you can mechal Shabbos to fight them. And furthermore, even when it's only a case of money. But even when it's a siege for money, if it's a city close to the border, that's a strategic city that if the Goyim get a stronghold in, it damages Klal Yisrael's ability to protect themselves. So in a city near the border, even if the purpose of the siege now was for monetary purposes, still, I feel like by Al Eskat Nefashas, Al Eskat Mekash, even if they're not coming for Nefashas, they're coming for straw and stubble, meaning for money, but not even expensive things, even for cheap things, Yaitzalim, Kezayin, the Yidden can go out with their weapons, Shabbos, fighting them, because again, in the big picture, losing a border city is losing a stronghold for protection, for physical protection, and therefore, even though now it's just a focus of money, it's still a good enough reason to fight them and be Mechal Shabbos with carrying Klei Zayin and fighting them. Amar Beis, Amar Yemi, Amar Nachman, Bavel, Kir Smuch L'Saper Dami. Bavel itself is like a city close to the border, and you'll have to defend on Shabbos even against a siege for money purposes. The Tirgum, when they say Bavel, what it means is Nardai. It means specifically the Nardai. The Nardai is the area that we're talking about, that if it's Chalila, there's a siege on Shabbos, you'll have to fight back, even though if it's only for money, you'll have to fight back and be with Chal Shabbos and carry Klei Zayin and weaponry and fight the Goyim in order not to let them get a stronghold in Nardai. Darshav Dasai Bidamin Bibi. Rav Dasai Darshand from Biri, we must try to bring a raya to this idea. So from Biri Darshand, the pasuk says, "Ma'itach zevei gidul David leimer hinei plishtim milchamim." They told David that the plishtim are waging war in Kila. Veimer sheisim as a gvarnes. The plishtim are waging war in Kila, and they're coming to steal from the threshing floors. Tana. Kila was a city that's close to the border. And the plishtim were coming only for tevin and kash, for straw and stubble, a monetary issue. David went to ask the Bashem, means he went to ask the Urim v'Tumim, should I go wage war and fight back the plishtim? And the response was, yes, go fight the plishtim. My kabbalah, what was David's shaila? And what was the question in the first place? Elam Ishari late Yasser, if the Shah was but mutter to fight or not. Hare Bez Dina Shmuel Harmasi Kayim. The Bez Dina Shmuel is Kayim. If it was a Lachik Shaila, when it's mutter to fight, let's say he goes to Shabbos. And therefore, he had a Lachik Shaila, when it's mutter to fight or not, why would he go to the Urim v'Tumim? Halachik Shaila, he go to the Bezdin. The Bezdin of Shmuel was still around, Shmuel Harmasi. So he should be going to the Bezdin of Shmuel Harmasi to ask the Halachik Shaila. You don't go to the Urim v'Tumim, Halachik Shaila, b'shmayim. You don't go to the Urim v'Tumim, Halachik Shaila. You go to the Bezdin. Ella, what was he asking? Eli Masliach Eli. He was asking if it was Masliach or not. Dekanami, Tichsiv, Leichi Kisa, Plishtav, Vashatas Kila. It says in the Urim Tumim's response was, go fight and you'll be successful. If there was just a Shiloh, he's allowed to go fight, the response should have been, go fight. The fact that he's go fight, you'll be successful, shows his, that was his question. His question was, will I succeed in defeating the army or not? Shpamina. So we see that was the point of his question, to see if he's going to be successful. But the merchants bring out the point that you see, Dovra Melchus waging war. It's not clear in the story, actually, that was happening on Shabbos. We were asking in our Gemara, if it was a Shiloh, whether or not you could fight war on Shabbos, that wouldn't be a question for the Rebbe. That wouldn't be a question for Shmuel and Bezin. Therefore, that must not have been the question. And therefore, the question must have been, whether you're going to be successful in the war. It's a separate question. So we don't know for sure the story over there took place in Shabbos, but the point we're still bringing out is when it comes to a fight for money, even if it's an issue of money, if it's an area that could be dangerous, if the guy can get a stronghold, we see you wage war, and that's why David Melch asked, will he be successful? He don't want to wage war for him to be successful, but assuming he'd be successful, he wanted to absolutely wage war to protect that area. It's actually an interesting discussion. How does Urim Tumim work? So Urim Tumim with there was like some a parchment in the breastplate in the Kohen Gadol's chest, and you'd ask Urim Tumim questions, and the letters on the breastplate would light up and give the answers, spelling out the words to give the answers as to what the person should do. That was the general idea of the Urim Tumim. The question is, how does that fit with the Isser on Shabbos of Kesef? Is one allowed to ask the Urim Tumim a question if that's going to lead to the letters lighting up, which is a form of writing? He's causing a form of writing. It's actually a very interesting shayla. In general, let's say maybe they still have it today, but in some of the, was more common, some of the old shuls, they still have the same siddur. And actually, I mean, even the shul in Viewmount in Toronto, there used to be an official page turner not so long ago. There was a shtender and a right on top of the beam, and there was a person that had a siddur, and they used to use kind of universal siddur, and someone would announce the pages, a page turner. So there was also a concept of putting letters or words up to let people know what page they're up to. Like you put up different letters together to spell a word. The letters were cut out before Shabbos, and you slide it into like some sort of a frame, and you spell out words, either page number this, or you put out messages, you spell out the messages of Shabbos. Are you allowed to do that? You're putting letters together to form a word. You're not writing with a pen, but you're putting letters together to form a word, separate letters, separate black letters. You put them together to form a word. Is that permissible? Ramesha writes that that's the problem. That's an isser. And this actually plays a big role. The Shiloh is playing a game, let's say like a Scrabble game on Shabbos, right? The voice can speak out that a Scrabble game, potentially, its question is if it's permissible or not in terms of. Let's focus on Kesef for now, in terms of Kesef. So if the letters are just kind of loose, and the next to each other, since they're very far from being permanent, they're very loose, could be Momaka to Makel. But on the new Scrabble boards, where there's actually little like place, little like it's recessed to drop, where the chips fit directly in, and they're kind of set in their place. So the person would say that certainly would be an issue of Kesef. If you're writing a word that could stay, that has very, very secure in its place, that would be an issue. Ramesha makes a chiluk again between Ramesha Zatzal, between a case where the letters are secure in their place, even though you're just putting existing letters together, that would not interest them, even though that would be Kaysev would be a problem, whereas if they're loose, it wouldn't be a problem. So the question over here is that the Urim Tumim, the letters are all secure in their place, it just lights up which letter is the right letter, one after the next, to create the word. Is that a problem or not? So one of the explanations why they give, why it would be mutter, is because they mean Uriah, I think it's the Medrash brings, where Moshe Rabbeinu, it's brought down in Chazal, that Moshe Rabbeinu, on the day before his Nifter, wrote 13 Sefer Torah. He made sure there's 13 Sefer Torah to have more Sefer Torah proliferate in the Welt. And Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifter on Shabbos. So how could he write 13 Sefer Torah on Shabbos? So they explain because it was done b'derech nes. To write 13 Sefer Torah in one day is almost impossible. It was done b'derech nes. Ksiva b'derech nes is not a problem. That's what the place will explain how Moshe Rabbeinu was able to have 13 Sefer Torah on the day he was Nifter. And therefore they want to apply the same over here. The Urim Tumim is nothing short of a nes. It's certainly a nes. And therefore it's a ksiva b'derech nes. And therefore it's not a problem. Again, what's most relevant for us is, halacha l'maisa, we're not really most likely to come into contact with the idea of but we could come into the context of putting letters together to form a word. When it's loose, the place can be more makel. I'm not saying everyone agrees that's mutter like Ramesha, but the place can be more makel. But when certainly when it's not loose, then Ramesha holds that's mamish ksiva gemura, and that would be a problem. Zok the Mishnah. Mishesh b'derech, a person who was sitting on the road. He sat down on the road, take a rest, and he didn't realize that he's within the tchum of Shabbos, in the tchum of the city. Vaman, and then he stood up, when he got up, Shabbos already started. V'ra, harayu samachir, wow. Well, good. He had good luck. He had good fortune that he's within 2 times the city. But he didn't have intent. He didn't have intent when he sat down or on the onset of Shabbos that he should be having his shvisa over here in order to be able to his tchum should work to connect him with the city. So the shaila is it automatic or not? That's basically the shaila. Is a person kind of 2,000 amos automatically or not? Meaning, Meaning, is he kind of that he's connecting out to his tchum within to the city, and he gets the whole city or not? Says the Mishnah, the loyis kavras lekach. He didn't have this intent consciously when Shabbos started. Loyikanis, he's not able to go into the city and become like one of the people of the city. Meaning, Avadi still has 2,000 namas. Let me be more clear. He has 2,000 namas, so he can extend, and the 2,000 namas extends into the city. So he can go into the city as far as the 2,000 namas limit goes, but he has to stop there. He doesn't get the whole city. If, when Shabbos started, he was within 2,000 namas of the city, and he had a mind that he wants to be able to traverse the whole city, he wants the fact that Tchum overlaps with the city should make his Makash Visa connected with the city, then it would work. But without that intention, it doesn't work. Divrei Meir Shita, Rabbi Yehuda argues, says no, Yikanes, even though he didn't have specific intent, he could go into the city and traverse the whole city. All right, Yehuda, my say this talk, a story of Nichus retired from Blazes Kavin. This is a story of Tav went into the city without a specific Kivun beforehand. He went into the city, traversed the whole city, so Rabbi Yehuda would arrive himself from Rabbi Tav and says, Gemara Tanya, all right, Yehuda, my say Rabbi Tav Shayim Alpat, Rabbi Tav was going on the road, Vachashkalin, it got dark, Vlonchot the air, and he spent the night outside the city, not realizing how close the city was. The Shachas Matzah Rabbi Bakar in the morning, the shepherds found him. Amrlei Rabbi Harei, the Fenech Lekanis says the city right over there to go into. Go into it. Nicholas Vashem Base Medish. He went into the Base Medish and the Darsh going cool and he darshan sheared the whole day. So you see very clearly that the Tarfa seems told that even if the person was unaware of the city, he's able to get the entire city as long as within 2,000 Namas, the whole city becomes part of its Chum automatically, a right to Yehuda. So this is a Shal and the Gears over here, but Amrlei, let's just say that the Tanayim. Amru is plural, meaning there were other Tanim apparently on Rabbi Meir's team, and they said back to Rabbi Yehuda, Misham Raya, that's Raya, Shema Beliba Heisa, Ibis Mandish, Muvla Besech Tuma Heisa. Two options. First of all, who knows what was in Tarfon's mind? You don't have a clear right from the story, he didn't know. The way it seemed like he didn't know, and the shepherds told him about the city, he didn't know about it. But maybe he didn't know about it, number one. Number two, even if he didn't know about it, who said that base Mandish wasn't within the 2,000 Amas? Even Rabbi Meir agrees, you have 2,000 Amas, you just don't get the whole city. Rabbi Yehuda says you get the whole city, Rabbi Meir says you only get 2,000 Amas, maybe that base Mandish was within 2,000 Amas, and therefore, the Amar deflects the Raya. Mishnah Yash Medarek, next Mishnah, was someone who fell asleep on the road, and he was unaware that it became dark, meaning he fell asleep through Banish Mashas, so he didn't have a mind to acquire Tchum. He still gets 2,000 Amas in every direction, that's Rechim Rishita V'chamermim, Ainle Ela Arba Amas, huge Chiddush. A person who fell asleep into Shabbos and then just woke up in the middle of nowhere, since he didn't consciously have a mind to have to be kind of shvisa there, he does not get 2,000 amas in any direction. He's restricted to 4 amas according to Rabbanan. Rabbi Meir says no. He gets 2,000 amas every direction. It says the Mishnah, Rabbaz Eimer, Fube Emtsin. When we talk about these 4 amas that he gets, he is in the middle of 4 amas as we spoke about earlier today. He's in the middle. He has really 2 amas in every direction. Rabbi Yudaimer, Lazer Rosh Yerzeilech. No, Rabbi Yudaimer argues and says he can go to any direction he chooses. He could take all 4 amas. So he doesn't measure himself in the middle. Now he's not getting 4 amas in every direction. Now we've mentioned in the past, we've said that the option is he gets 2 amas in each direction or 4 amas in each direction. Here we see Rabbi saying, not like what we've said in the past, you get 4 amas in any direction that he chooses, but he's still restricted to a total of 4 amas, not 16 amas. He's restricted to a total of 4 amas. He can just pick, he can take all 4 amas to the east, all 4 amas to the west. But once he chooses, then he can't switch back. He can't go back to his original. He can't retract and choose a different direction. Hayu says Mishnah further. Hayu Shnayim, the two people in a 4 Amma area. Each one has a restriction now. They're in a situation where they're restricted to 4 Ammas. Mixes Ammas Shazah, Besech Ammas Shazah, and some of the 2 Ammas of each overlap, meaning each one has 4 Ammas, and some of their Ammas of the two people overlapped. They can bring the food in the middle and eat in the overlapping area. The Chiddush is, they have the overlapping area and they're able to eat together and share their food. Provided that you don't carry anything from his friend's domain, that was originally in his friend's domain, into his 4 Ammas outside of his friend's, outside the overlapping area, essentially. There's 3 people there. You have 3 people with each having 4 amas, and the 2 outer people will overlap by the middle. But the 2 outer ones don't overlap with each other. He again is mutter to bring food and eat which either one of them, eat with either one of them, not at the same time, obviously. But he keeps either one of them, they're mutter with him as well. Each one of the outsides is mutter with him, the same way he's mutter with them. However, they're us with each other. They can't bring food and eat together with each other because they have no connection. They have no overlap themselves in their areas. It's comparable to 3 chaseres that open one to another. And also open to 3 chaseres open up to each other, and also open up to Rishus Harabim. So they make an Erev to allow carrying from the houses into each other for the Ochatzer, but they didn't make an Erev. Sorry. The case is where each one made an Erev to allow carrying in the Ochatzer, right, but they didn't make an Erev from carrying from chutz to chutzir. So he said this: Ibrish Daim Imam says, if the two outer chutzirs made an air with the inner chutzir, whom Himitarsima, if the two outer chutzirs made an air with the middle chutzir, they can each carry in their chutzir and the chutzir in the center. But the two outer chutzirs do not have a right to carry. You can't take something that was originally in one outer chutzir and end up having it in the other outer chutzir, because the two outer chutzirs have a air with the middle chutzir. The middle chutzir has air with two outer chutzirs, but the two outer chutzirs don't have air with each other, and therefore something can't be transported from one outer chutzir all the way to the other outer chutzir. Okay. By Rava, Mikas of Rebekah Ben Uri. What does Rebekah Ben Uri hold? Does y'all miss for because of our hefty hefka kind of shvisa? Does Rebekah Ben Uri hold that things that are hefker, ownerless items, also get kind of shvisa? And that's the same logic why a person who's sleeping, has no das, gets a shvisa and therefore has 2,000 amas. Like a chavis which has no owner will have 2,000 amas. You don't need das for 2,000 amas, it's automatic, everything gets 2,000 amas. Uva did it with Kalim. If that's the case, really, we should be arguing my Kalim to show that Rebekah Ben Uri holds, even my Kalim get 2,000 amas, not just by a person who has the ability, if he'd be awake, to have das, and therefore maybe when he's sleeping, he gets it, but even my Kalim, Rabbi Echamari holds the 2,000 Amos. So why did we discuss the case of Adam? How did we discuss Adam? Ladiyah Kachad Rabban. What is just the Kachad Rabbanan who hold that a person who is sleeping does not get any 2,000 Amos at all? He's restricted to the Alamos. We want to show the Afakav Deklamim, even though by person you have a logic to say, Halavan Erekana. Since if he had been awake, he'd acquire a 2,000 Amos radius. So Yashnami Kana, so to Yash when he's sleeping, also should acquire Tabi Hafman, even though Rabbanan would agree over there. Kamashman, therefore teaching us the Mishnah in the terms of a Adam, a person, to show the Rabbanan say that when someone doesn't have intent, he's not kind of Shvisa, even Adam. Adam doesn't have Das, to be kind of a Makam Shvisa and have Tchum around him of 2,000 Amos, will not be Zeichet to the full Tchum, he'll be restricted to the Anamis. And Kolshkin, according to Chumim, Kalim, Rabbi Yechman Uri says that it works by them, also holds it works by Kalim. That's the first side. Or maybe no, it's exactly it. Rabbi Yechman Uri agrees that by Kalim, ownerless Kalim have no Bailim, will not get a din of 2,000 Amos in every direction. It's restricted to Anamis. Over here by Adam, he argues, because since had the person been awake, he'd be kind of Makam. When he's sleeping, he's kind of the same Makam. Only because he's a human, but Kalim, maybe Rabbi Yechon Menuri, would agree that that is the Shailim. Amar Beisiv, Tashma being Uriah. Gisham Shehad, Merav Yamtiv, Gisham that fell on Erev Yamtiv, Yesh Lahem, Alpaim Amal Chorach. The Tchum for these is 2,000 Amos in any direction. Beyamtiv, if it gets its own Tchum, 2,000 Amos. That seems to be clear. Ownerless rain gets a tchum, 2,000 amas every direction. That's going to be a right that Rechon holds. Something ownerless, the automatic gets tchum. There's no das, there's no owner, and it's hefker. It's like kalim of hefker, and it gets a tchum of 2,000 amas in every direction. That's going to be the raya. Okay, further in the raya. But yamtiv if fell on yamtiv itself, harain correct the adam. Whoever is kind of, since it had no shvisa when yamtiv started, didn't exist when yamtiv started, only came into the world on yamtiv. So then whoever picks up, whoever's kind of it gets the shvisa of that person. Correctly called the means, like the first person to be kind of it, if he subsequently gives it to the second person, that second person will still be restricted to the tchum of the first person who is kind of the rain. By the way, why are we talking about rain on yamtiv as opposed to rain on Shabbos? Because on Shabbos, you can't carry, unless you have an Erev, you can't carry. But who had this? Didn't be the same on Shabbos. It's just more relevant than yamtiv because you're talking about carrying the rain, carrying the water. You can only carry the water on yamtiv or on Shabbos with an Erev would be the same then. Okay. Now, yamtiv shalom because of Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri. If Rabbi Yechon means right now, if you say Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri holds that hefker kind of shvisa, that hefker also ownerless objects get a makam shvisa. So Haman, who's the author of this price, which starts off saying that rain that fell on yamtiv is gets 2,000 amas. Rabbi Yechonan, Eliyahu mitchef sehefka in kind of shvisa. Even according to Rabbi Yechonan, hamani the Rabbi Yechonan Rabbanan. If even Rabbi Yechonan Ben Uri agrees, hefka doesn't get shvisa, doesn't get 2,000 amas. So then, who could be the author of this price that allows 2,000 amas for the rain? That is the chur. That is Rabbi Yechonan right. Rabbi Yechonan agrees, not just by Adam, he holds even by Kalim, he holds that the Kalim get 2,000 amas. Says the Gemara, yes, Rabbi the coming last Shmaya. Rabbi was saying over this memory. Amr of Safra the Rabbi. Rav Safra said Rabbi, the Dilma bikshamim asmuchin liras. Maybe we're talking about rain that was near the city. Maybe we're talking about rain that was near the city. And since there's rain near the city, the people of the city, the Anshe Ir, had das for the rain that fell the day before, and therefore gets a tchum. So what are you saying? It's ownerless and no one had das on it. There were people that had das on it. Rabbi said, don't say that's the pshat, because I have another, really, meaning that is potentially a good deflection of the price we quoted, but don't say that's the pshat, that dachuk case that's talking about near a city, and the people of the city had das, because we have another eye, essentially. We learned in the Mishnah of Beit Sedaf Lamentes, Bar Shel Yachid, a bar that belongs to Yachid, Karagla Yachid. The distance you could travel with the word from that bar is the tchum of that Yachid who owns the bar. Shel Yisair, bar of the people of the city, Karagla Yisair, as the distance of the people of the city, meaning the tchum of that city. Let's say I make an Erev Tchumim to go 4,000 amas out of the city one direction, I cannot take the water with me 4,000 amas. I can only take the water with me 2,000 amas because the water was kind of as a den shvis, like the people of the city, which is 2,000 amas out of the city in every direction. Okay. V'shal Eile Bavel, here's the case that we need. The water of the Eile Bavel, those who are going up to Eretz Yisrael, those who are being Eile Regel, the water for those wells are meant for the people going up. It doesn't have any specific owner. It's Hefker. Kerag the Malu. Whoever fills it up, the water gets a din, it gets a tchum, like that person. B'tanya, but we have a b'risa that says, that this is a case where it didn't have its own tchum, and it gets a tchum like whoever claims it. V'tanya, we learned in another b'risa. Bar shal shvat in the bar of the of the shvatim, same idea of the shiftei ka traveling up there to Yisrael. Yeshlo pai ma'amachon ruach. The bar of the shvatim has 2,000 opposite of direction. That's a stira. Before we said it gets this distance of the person who drew the water out. Here we're saying it gets automatic 2,000 amas. It gets its own 2,000 ama border in all directions. What's the answer? Kasha dadechum of stira between the Mishnah and Beitza and this brisa that we just quoted. Elav shvamin hayachem menuri. The brisa we just quoted is the opinion of Rebbe Menuri. That's why it gets a payim ama. The chol ruach, because even an ownerless a hefker item gets a trum of 2,000 amas. And harabban of the Mishnah says it has the ownerless item has no trum until someone's kind it, then it gets a trum of the owner. That's the Mishnah's basis, like the harabban. So we see Rebbe Menuri says it's in even where it's ownerless. Kiyasa came to Rebbeisiv, so the chol it's a good raya from there. Kiyasa came to Rebbeisiv when Abaye came from Rebbeisiv, so Abaye supported Rebbeisiv's outcome to Rav Safra from this other raya. Kiyasa came to Rebbeisiv when Abaye came to Rebbeisiv. Amalei Hachem Rav Safra, he related this is what Rav Safra asked on your proof. And this is what I answered. Abaye says to I gave a new answer for you from this brisa. On there, Beisav says, "Amalei Tam Lemigufa, why don't you bring him a proof from the original brisa itself?" Isak Daylik Shamus Mukh in the air. Askin, and if we're talking about the case that the Rasafir wanted to deflect, we're talking about rain that's near the city. If that's the case, Hayeshlam Apayim Amal Choruach Hakarag Lancha Yirmabayle. Why would it say he has? Why would it say you have 2,000 amas choruach? Why would the price say you have 2,000 amas of direction? It shouldn't say that. If the verb was, that's what the price was before, rain that fell erev yontif, you have 2,000 amas of direction. Why would you say that? It's not 2,000 amas of direction. It's 2,000 amas. It's correctly the people of the city. How correctly Anshe Yirma Bayle should have said. Elamai, we're not talking about a case where it's based on the people of the city. It's not talking about a case where the people of Anshe Yisir. We're thinking about it. We're talking about a case where it's tam ownerless water, and we're saying still it gets a 2,000 amas makam shvisa, which is Rech Manuri. It says that even ownerless items get a makam shvisa and 2,000 amas around, not just by a person that's sleeping, even on the side of Kodesh Bikuri, gets its own 2,000 amas. Amamar. The Mar is going to elaborate on the price that we quoted yesterday. Let's leave this for tomorrow, Mitzvah.